Today is Monday, the 5th of February, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump prepares to rig or cancel the 2026 elections, by Patrick Martin. President Donald Trump's declaration Monday on a right-wing podcast that the Republican Party should nationalize elections and, quote, take over the voting, end quote, in Democratic-controlled cities and states is a signal for an intensified effort to rig the 2026 elections or cancel them outright. Trump repeated his demands in remarks to the press on Tuesday in the Oval Office, and then at greater length in an interview with Tom Yamas of NBC News, with excerpts broadcast by the network on Wednesday night. In unmistakably racist terms, Trump singled out Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, all majority-minority cities with African-American mayors, for vilification as corrupt. Significantly, Yamas expressed no disagreement with Trump's non-stop lies about the 2020 election, nor did he point out that Trump's efforts to seize control of the electoral process in selected states and cities is a blatant violation of the Constitution. As billionaires tighten their grip on the corporate media, the purges at CBS and The Washington Post are current examples, the multimillionaire journalists are accommodating themselves to the new order. Trump's threats are the latest step in a steadily escalating campaign to suppress the democratic rights of the American people, including the right to vote. This has included systematic mid-decade gerrymandering of congressional district lines, passage by the House of Legislation to require voter ID and ban mail-in voting, and demands by the Department of Justice for states to turn over their voter rolls so that federal officials can intervene to disqualify voters. Most recently, FBI agents raided the election office of Fulton County, Georgia, Atlanta, an action supervised on the spot by FBI Deputy Director Tom Bailey and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard. Trump himself spoke directly to the FBI agents through a connection established by Gabbard, who has been suggesting that China interfered in the 2020 vote. All of these actions have been in support of Trump's false claims that he lost the 2020 election because of the votes of quote-unquote illegal immigrants brought into the country by the Biden administration, although non-citizens cannot vote and very few attempt to do so. This is invariably linked to some form of the fascist Great Replacement Theory, which claims that immigrants from Africa, Asia, and Latin America are being brought into the United States by the millions in a deliberate effort to replace the white population. In the openly neo-Nazi version, the perpetrators of this supposed campaign are Jewish billionaires. In Trump's slightly sanitized version, it is the Democratic Party. Quote, so they've sent all of their people, millions and millions of people, he said Monday, referring to immigrants, we have to get them out. And by the way, if Republicans don't get them out, you will never win another election as a Republican, end quote. Trump's campaign against the 2026 elections thus combines his stolen election lies from 2020, which were the basis for the attempted coup of January 6, 2021, and the ongoing campaign of state terror against immigrants being waged by masked, heavily armed agents of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and Customs and Border Protection, CBP. The end result would be an election rigged by the use of police terror to intimidate anti-Trump and particularly minority voters. Fascist former aide Steve Bannon hailed Trump's comments, calling for ICE agents to surround polling places in November. Alternatively, should such methods prove unworkable, Trump might simply declare that the vote results in certain areas of the country should be disregarded, or, as he told an interviewer last month, The elections should be cancelled altogether due to the supposed great success of his administration. The United States has held elections every 2 years for Congress and every 4 years for president without interruption since the adoption of the Constitution in 1789. The Great Depression, foreign wars, and even the Civil War did not prevent voting from taking place. If Trump now openly muses about putting an end to the elections, in the year which marks the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, it is because American capitalism faces a crisis of even greater dimensions. Trump acts not as an individual, but as a representative of a class. As a WSWS wrote last week, quote, Trump's conspiracy for dictatorship, of which the events in Minneapolis are only one component, is continuing. The president speaks and acts as a representative of the capitalist oligarchy, which, confronted with an escalating series of economic, political, and social crises, is breaking with all democratic and legal norms. The Democrats' role is to conceal this fact, to chloroform the population, and to block the emergence of any independent movement from below. End quote. Trump's rampage in Minneapolis was only possible because of the complicity, silence, and cowardice of Democratic officials in state after state, and above all, in Washington. Only hours after Trump's remarks about taking control of the elections, the Democratic leadership in the House of Representatives supplied just enough votes to pass $1.2 trillion in funding for the Pentagon and other U.S. government departments, including a short-term extension for the Department of Homeland Security, which includes both ICE and CBP. No doubt Trump fears that a heavy defeat of the Republicans in the 2026 election would weaken his administration. But he is not principally concerned about the Democratic Party gaining seats in the House and the Senate. He has long since taken the measure of the Democrats. It was Barack Obama who first welcomed him to the White House after his victory in 2016, declaring that after the intramural scrimmage, the Democrats and Republicans were, quote, on the same team, end quote. It was Biden who declared after Trump's failed coup of January 6 that he wanted a, quote, strong Republican Party, end quote. And the Democratic response to the violence of ICE and CBP has been to file lawsuits and wring their hands. The New York Times demonstrated the prostration of the Democrats before Trump with an editorial raising his threat to the 2026 election, but beginning with a rebuke of the Democrats who criticized voter ID requirements as an effort to suppress minority turnout. The editorial noted that Trump himself told the Times that he, quote, regretted not sending the National Guard to seize voting machines after the 2020 presidential election, end quote. Yet in response to this implied threat of military force, the Times could only appeal for more people to serve as poll workers and watchers. Trump does not command a mass fascist movement. He seeks to carry out what the coup failed to accomplish 5 years ago by using the armed forces of the executive branch to establish a presidential dictatorship. The obstacle to this is not the Democratic Party, but the working class, the vast majority of the American population. The would-be dictator fears the mass movement that erupted in Minneapolis against the murderous invasion by ICE and CBP agents and the intensification of the class struggle shown in the coast-to-coast wave of nurses' strikes and the impact of mass layoffs and falling living standards on working-class consciousness. The threat of dictatorship cannot be fought through the Democratic Party, which, like the Republicans, upholds the interests of the financial oligarchy and American imperialism. It requires the independent political mobilization of the working class. The growing strikes, mass protests, and calls for a general strike point the way forward. Preparations must be consciously made to unite workers across industries, regions, and national lines in a general strike aimed at defeating Trump's drive to dictatorship. The working class must build an independent political movement whose goal is to break the power of the financial oligarchy and overturn the capitalist system that is driving society toward dictatorship and war. Washington Post slashes one-third of its newsroom as 2026 jobs bloodbath continues, by Andre Damon. The Washington Post announced Tuesday that it is eliminating more than 300 journalists, roughly one-third of its 800-person newsroom. The paper is shuttering its entire sports section, closing its books desk, suspending its flagship Post Reports podcast, and gutting its foreign and metro coverage. The entire Middle East team was laid off, including the Cairo bureau chief. The Asia editor position was eliminated, along with the New Delhi and Sydney bureau chiefs. Correspondents covering China, Iran, and Turkey were cut. The layoffs at the Post are part of a wave of mass job cuts in 2026 that is on pace to eclipse 2025, itself one of the worst years of layoffs in recent history. In January alone, Amazon announced 16,000 corporate job cuts targeting core product and engineering roles, with over 2,000 in the Seattle area. UPS eliminated 30,000 positions on top of the 48,000 cut in 2025, bringing cumulative layoffs to 78,000. The company is closing or reducing operations at 28 facilities. Pinterest cut 15% of its workforce. Meta laid off more than 1,000 workers in its Reality Labs division as it pivots from the metaverse to AI. According to the Challenger, Gray and Christmas outplacement firm, US employers announced 1,206,374 job cuts in 2025, a 58% increase over the previous year, and the highest level since the 2020 pandemic. This was the seventh highest annual total since tracking began in 1989. Post executive editor Matt Murray announced the cuts on an 8:30 a.m. Zoom call. In his remarks, Murray blamed the layoffs on artificial intelligence and other technological changes. He said that, quote, platforms like search that shaped the previous era of digital news and which once helped the Post thrive are in serious decline. Our organic search has fallen by nearly half in the last 3 years, and we are still in the early days of AI-generated content, which is drastically reshaping user experiences and expectations, end quote. The Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who purchased it in 2013 for $250 million, promising that his business interests would not affect the paper's coverage. His net worth has soared from approximately $110 billion in 2022 to over $250 billion today. His wealth increase of $140 billion over 4 years could cover the Post's reported $100 million annual losses for 1,400 years. Instead, Bezos is gutting the newsroom while using his fortune to curry favour with Trump. In October 2024, Bezos ordered the Post not to endorse a presidential candidate for the first time in 36 years, even though the editorial board had already drafted an endorsement of Kamala Harris and had written that Trump was unfit for office. More than 250,000 readers cancelled their subscriptions in response. In December 2024, Bezos donated $1 million to Trump's inauguration fund and dined with Trump at Mar-a-Lago alongside Elon Musk. Quote, "I'm actually very optimistic," end quote, about Trump's second term, Bezos said at the New York Times Deal Book Summit, praising Trump's plans to reduce regulation. Amazon then spent $75 million on a documentary about Melania Trump, $40 million for licensing and $35 million for marketing. The film generated just $7 million in its opening weekend. Caroline O'Donovan, the Post's Amazon beat reporter, wrote after being laid off, quote, "Today I was laid off from my job covering Amazon for Jeff Bezos's Washington Post," end quote. Reporter Emmanuel Felton said, quote, "This wasn't a financial decision. It was an ideological one," end quote. The technology sector led private industry with 154,445 cuts, up 15% from 2024. Government layoffs exploded by 703% to 308,167, driven largely by the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, which was responsible for 293,753 federal job cuts. Warehousing saw a 317% increase to 95,317 cuts, while retail layoffs rose 123% to 92,989. Media companies cut 17,163 workers. Meanwhile, hiring has collapsed. Employers announced only 507,647 planned hires in 2025, the lowest total since 2010, and a 34% decline from the previous year. The fourth quarter of 2025 saw the highest quarterly layoffs since 2008. A survey by Challenger found that 52% of respondents expect job cuts to accelerate further in 2026, while 41% expected them to continue at the high rates of 2025. Pinterest's layoffs include a revealing episode. CEO Bill Ready fired two engineers who had built an internal tool to track laid-off colleagues after management refused to disclose who was being cut. Ready called their effort to provide transparency, quote, "obstructionist behavior," end quote. Artificial intelligence is increasingly cited as justification for mass layoffs. According to Challenger, AI was responsible for 54,836 announced job cuts in 2025. Since 2023, when this category was first tracked, AI has been cited in 71,825 layoff announcements. Amazon, Microsoft, Workday, Salesforce, HP and Chegg have all pointed to AI investments as rationale for workforce reductions. The impact of AI on the news industry has been substantial. According to industry analyses, Google's AI overviews have reduced click-through rates to news sites by 30 to 55%. AI chatbots provide virtually no referral traffic to publishers. Their click-through rates are 96% lower than traditional search. A Search Engine World study found that referral traffic from Google has dropped by up to 64% for some publishers. News organizations expect search traffic to fall 43% by 2029. The layoffs of 2025 and 2026 have corresponded to a massive increase in the wealth of the financial oligarchy, of which Bezos is a part. In the first year of Trump's second term, the combined wealth of American billionaires grew by $1.5 trillion, a 22% increase to $8.2 trillion. Elon Musk alone gained $305 billion, becoming the first person to surpass $700 billion in net worth. The 15 richest Americans saw their wealth surge by 33%, more than double the rate of the stock market, gaining $800 billion collectively. The top 1% of US households now own 31.7% of all wealth, the highest share since the Federal Reserve began tracking in 1989. The ruling class is committed to using artificial intelligence and automation, despite the fundamentally progressive character of this technology, as a battering ram against the working class. AI, which could reduce the burden of labour and expand access to information, is instead being deployed to eliminate jobs, suppress wages, and concentrate wealth in ever fewer hands. The same billionaires who are laying off hundreds of thousands of workers are using their fortunes to purchase political influence and shape government policy in their interests. Both the Democratic and Republican parties represent this financial oligarchy. The working class cannot defend its interests through either capitalist party, but must build an independent socialist movement to expropriate the wealth of the billionaires and place the resources of society under democratic control. Greek Coast Guard rams refugee boat, killing and injuring dozens, by Lena Sokol. The Mediterranean is one of the most dangerous places in the world for migrants. Early Wednesday morning, another incident became known in a long series of deadly confrontations between migrants and the border forces of the Mediterranean states. A boat carrying an estimated 35 people travelling from the Turkish coast to the nearby island of Chios was rammed by the Greek Coast Guard. At least 15 people were killed. 26 injured individuals were taken to hospital, including 12 children. Two surviving women lost their unborn children. As of Wednesday, the search for additional missing persons had not yet been completed. The exact circumstances of the collision remain unclear. According to the Coast Guard, a patrol discovered the migrant boat and ordered it to turn back. Dangerous manoeuvres by the speedboat allegedly followed, and during the ensuing pursuit, the vessels collided. This version of events has not yet been independently verified. Serious doubts are warranted, as border guards have repeatedly drawn attention through brutal, unlawful, and inhumane actions that have led to the deaths of refugees. In the past year alone, there were several cases in which refugee boats capsized while being pursued by the Coast Guard. In October 2025, a man and a boy died off the island of Rhodes under such circumstances. Human rights and maritime rescue organizations regularly accuse Greek authorities of pushing migrants back into international waters or shortly after they reach Greek waters without examining their right to asylum, thereby placing them in life-threatening distress at sea. In the worst known disaster on June 14, 2023, hundreds of people died when the fishing trawler Adriana sank. Witnesses accused the Greek Coast Guard of causing the severely overcrowded vessel, carrying up to 700 people, to capsize. They also alleged that necessary rescue measures were deliberately withheld and no assistance was requested. 104 people survived and 79 bodies were recovered. Hundreds more went down with the ship, including, according to witness testimony, many women and children trapped in the ship's hold. Attempts to investigate the incident were obstructed by the authorities. Following international investigations, including by ARD, ART, the BBC and CNN, the Greek public prosecutor has since brought charges against 17 members of the Coast Guard, including senior officers. Numerous further allegations are documented. Migrants were violently forced onto unsafe boats, sent out to sea without life jackets or even pushed into the water, often with fatal consequences. Based on news sources and witness testimony, the BBC documented at least 43 deaths caused by the Greek Coast Guard in 15 incidences between 2020 and 2023. Earlier, Der Spiegel had already proven that the Coast Guard intercepts boat refugees and abandons them on life rafts off the Turkish coast, leaving them to their fate. All of these practices violate human rights and international legal obligations to admit asylum seekers. The Greek Coast Guard is particularly notorious, but it acts in full knowledge that its methods align with the asylum and deportation policies of EU member states. For decades, Fortress Europe has been expanded, with deadly consequences for refugees and migrants, especially in the Mediterranean. The UN Migration Agency, IOM, now describes the central Mediterranean as, quote, the deadliest migration corridor in the world, end quote. In January 2026 alone, hundreds of people reportedly drowned there or died from hypothermia. European states are responsible for these deadly migration routes and the associated human suffering. Their migration policy is designed to recruit skilled workers trained around the world while sealing off Europe to people without immediate economic value. Those affected by the most recent disaster off Chios are predominantly people from Afghanistan, a country devastated by years of war in which the European powers were also involved. Today, the Islamist Taliban rule there with brutal arbitrariness. Welthungerhilfe, WFWF, World Without Hunger, describes the situation as catastrophic. According to the UN, 97% of Afghanistan's population lives in poverty, and more than 1 million children under the age of 5 are severely malnourished. The education system has collapsed, and roughly two-thirds of the population is illiterate. Who could be more in need of protection than the people from Afghanistan? Nevertheless, Afghan refugees have little chance of receiving asylum in Europe. Increasingly, they are being deported back to their country of origin. EU states are progressively adopting the agenda of the far right and preparing measures similar to those implemented by US President Donald Trump in the United States. Just last week, the European Commission announced a further tightening of its migration and asylum policy. The responsible EU Commissioner, Magnus Brunner, stated, quote, "We must use all the means at our disposal if we want to decide who is allowed to enter the European Union and who must leave it again," end quote. This should be understood as a clear warning. Among the planned measures is the establishment of deportation centres outside EU territory in order to deliberately undermine asylum rights and deter migrants. This so-called deterrence also includes state-organised terror against boat refugees in the Mediterranean. Violence and injustice against those seeking protection are to be institutionally entrenched in the planned return hubs outside Europe. The constant escalation of measures against refugees is also part of the construction of a European police state. The accompanying legal and moral boundary shifts do not affect migrants alone. The repressive apparatus can quickly be deployed against the entire working class as soon as resistance to social cuts and war policies grows, as current developments in the United States clearly demonstrate. Defending the fundamental and human rights of refugees and migrants is not only an act of necessary solidarity. It lies in the direct interests of the European and international working class and is a central component of the struggle against fascism, militarism, and war. For these articles and more, including Socialism AI, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been Jenny Campbell.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.